Shas Illuminated presents the following shiur by Rabbi Moshe Dan Kestenbaum. Meseches Nedarim has been dedicated by Mr. and Mrs. Yehuda Koenig in loving memory of Malka and Aaron Zvi Krausman.
Today's daf is daf Nun Aleph. We like to just come back and speak out some arais from daf Nun Amid Beis. The Gemara on top of Nun Amid Beis tells us that the Bas Kesar said to Rabbi Yeshua ben Chananya, Torah mefura b'chli mechar. How could such a beautiful Torah be in such an ugly vessel? Insulting the way Rabbi Yeshua ben Chananya looked. And Rabbi Yeshua ben Chananya told her that I learned from your father's house. The wine is kept in the earthenware vessels, not in the silver and gold, etc. And she says to him, we see that they're beautiful people, beautiful Talmidei Chachamim. So we see that Torah could be in a beautiful vessel as well. Amar lo, Rabbi Yeshua said to her, Yehavi sani yehavi gemirin tvei. If they would be ugly, if they'd be worse looking, they would even know more Torah. What is the reason for this? Why is it better if the person's not as good looking? So Rashi in Tainus and Dav Zayin and Beis explains that a person who's not as good looking, it's harder for him to become arrogant. And the Gemara says over there in Tainus that Torah is only been miskayim by somebody who's daitai shvela, somebody who's humble. So Rashi understands the idea over here is an idea of humility. The Maharal in Chidushi Agadais over here in Nedarim has a slightly different understanding. He explains that Torah, which is Davar Ruchni, has more kayach, has more power when there's less gashmius of the person. And a person who's better looking, so he has more kayach of gashmius, and therefore Torah is better kept. Torah has more power in somebody who's not as good-looking. And perhaps according to the understanding of the Maharal, the mashal fits even better, the mashal to the wine being held in the barrels. The way I understand the idea over here is that the wine being held in the metal, in silver and gold, so there is some type of corrosion of the metal, and the metal imparts into the wine and damages the wine. However, if it's held in earthenware does not impart anything into the wine. And so too, the person who learns Torah, who doesn't have gashmius, so that person doesn't have any detraction of the gashmius affecting, imparting anything not as pure into the Torah. The pashtus of the Gemara, that's the way we've been explaining, is that we're referring to the looks of the person, how good looking the person is. And the Bas Kesar was insulting, telling Rabbi Yeshua ben Chananya, how could such a beautiful Torah be in a person like yourself, who's not so good looking, who's ugly? And the Rush learns this way over here. And the Rush explains, what was the problem with Rabbi Yeshua? He says, Shahaya Shachar. He was black. What does it mean he was black? So I saw brought down in the Masifta, in the Yaakov Biurim, in a footnote, he wants to suggest, based on the Gemara in Chagiga, and Chav Beis and Mebeis, where the Gemara says that Rabbi Yeshua made a comment against Beis Shammai. He said, I'm embarrassed of your words, Beis Shammai, because he didn't think what Beis Shammai was saying made sense, was correct. And then a Talmud of Beis Shammai explained to him what Beis Shammai was saying. And it says Rabbi Yeshua went and he spread himself out by the Kvarim, by the Kever of Beis Shammai, and asking for forgiveness. And the Gemara says, Kol Yamav, his entire life thereon, Hushcharu Shinav Mipnei Tani Yisab. His teeth became black from all his fast days. He constantly fasted as a kapara for saying something derogatory, demeaning against Beis Shammai. And the Dictuke Seifrim has a different girsa, not that his teeth became black, but Hushcharu Panav, his face became black. So in the Masifta, he wants the Taina, that's what the Rosh means, that Rabbi Shua was black. He was black, his face was dark from all the fasts that he took upon himself as a kapara for that event. I was thinking of another pshat, a suggestion that the Gemara tells us in Brachos on Daf Chavches Amar Aleph, in the story in the famous Maisa with Rabbi Gamliel and Rabbi Yeshua, that Rabbi Gamliel came to Rabbi Yeshua's house and he saw that the walls of the house were black, and he said, from the walls of your house, it's clear that you're a blacksmith. So I was thinking to suggest that maybe as a result, since Rabbi Yeshua was a blacksmith, so maybe as a result of working with all the smoke, the heat, that maybe his face was darkened. The only question is, then why did Rabbi Gamliel have to say, Mikaisle Beisacha Taniker, from the walls of your house it's recognizable? Why only did Rabbi Gamliel realize this when he came to his house? Why didn't him seeing Rabbi Yeshua during every day, him being able to notice the darkness on his face, that he was a blacksmith? Okay, I'm not sure, a suggestion nonetheless. However, there's another pshat in the idea over here that it's not that Rabbi Yeshua ben Chananya was not a good-looking person, and that's what the Gemara is referring to, but rather this is a general idea aimed towards Talmidei Chachamim, because Rashi says in Masechtas Avodah Zarah and Tazayin Amud Beis, he brings down our Gemara, which is as well Gemara and Tainis on Daf Zayin Amud Aleph. Darkon shel Talmidei Chachamim shemitztaron alima Taira. It's a darach of Talmidei Chachamim that they pain themselves over learning Taira. Ve'ena mechapsim bigdayim. They don't wash their clothing. Rashi learns that the idea over here is that Talmidei Chachamim are not as into their clothing, not as into taking care of themselves. Obviously, we know Gemara tells us elsewhere that a Talmid Chacham is not allowed to have a stain on his clothing, but nonetheless, it seems from Rashi, they're not as well groomed as other people may be because of their mesiras to Taira. And that's what the Bas Kesar was saying to Rabbi Yeshua ben Chananya. And the Sfasemis says that this as well is the way Taisvis and Tainis on the Zayim at Aleph learns our Gemara, because Taisvis over there explains that when Rabbi Yeshua ben Chananya said back to her, Ihavi Sani, Havi Gmir and Tfei, which the way we explained before, the Pashup Shat, is if that they would be uglier, if these Talmidei Chacham would be uglier, they would know even more Taira. Taisus has a different shot. He says Ihavi Sani means if they would hate, meaning if they would hate their beauty, they would hate taking care of their Gashmias, they would be more learned, more knowledgeable in Taira. So Taisus understands that the discussion over here is not about the appearance of their face, but more about how invested, how much a person cares about his gashmias, how much a person cares about his looks. And that was the discussion between the Bas Kesar and Rabbi Yeshua ben Chananya. One final ha'ara in this Gemara, in this discussion, is that, especially according to the simple pshat in the Gemara, that Rabbi Yeshua ben Chananya was not as good looking, and Rabbi Yeshua ben Chananya was saying that the worse the person looks physically, the more he has a koach of retaining and learning Taira. It would seem to contradict the Gemara we had a daf earlier on Emtesim at Beis, where the Machanusa sees Rabbi Yehuda and his shining countenance, his shining face, and the Gemara tells us, or Rabbi Yehuda says, Chachmas Adam, Tayar Panav, it's the wisdom of a person that lightens his face. It would seem from the Gemara earlier that on the contrary, a person who learns Torah has a beautiful, shining face. So the morale over here in Chiddushei Agadais says it's not a question, it's not a stira, that one idea is the idea of the physical features of the person, as opposed to the Gemara earlier, which is talking about a special shine, like Moshe Rabbeinu, Kikaron, or Panav, special shine of the person. So the shine a person has, the ruchnius of the person, like we spoke about in yesterday's daf, shines through. However, in the actual physical features of the person, it could be that Taka, the Talmid Chacham, may be lacking in his features. And that's what the discussion of our Gemara revolves around. Moving down to the bottom of Nun Amud Beis, the Gemara tells us interesting maises with Rebbe and Bar Kappara. The Gemara begins that Rebbe made a chasna for Reb Shimon, his son, and he didn't invite Bar Kappara. Bar Kappara was a jokester, so to say. He would try to make Rebbe laugh. And therefore, the Mefarish explains that Rebbe did not invite him because, as the Gemara says, that Rebbe tried not to laugh. As the Gemara says on the bottom, the day that Rebbe laughs, punishment comes to the world. The Shita offers another possibility. Perhaps just Rebbe forgot to invite Bar Kappara. And Lamaisa, Bar Kappara speaks out against Rebbe, and he says, "In la'ivrei ritzainai kach, la'aisei ritzain alachas kama v'kama. If this is how Hashem treats those that go against His will, certainly how Hashem will reward those that fulfill His will." The Mefarish explains that Bar Kappara was saying that Rebbe is considered someone who goes against the will of Hashem because he didn't invite him, and Bar Kappara was saying, if this is how Hashem treats somebody who doesn't listen to him, certainly how Hashem treats somebody that listens to him. And afterwards, Rebbe does invite him when he hears this. And then Bar Kappara says, La'isa ritzayna b'ayla mazev, this is how Hashem rewards those that keep His will in this world. And referring to Rebbe as someone that does listen to Hashem, kach la'ayla maba, alach hazakam v'kama, certainly how Hashem will reward him in Olam Haba. The Marsha does not like this pshat of the Mefarish to say that Bar Kappara could be so chutzpahdik, so disrespectful, and call Rebbe an Ivrei Ritzainai, someone who doesn't listen to HaKadosh Baruch, who doesn't listen to Hashem. And therefore the Marsha explains what Bar Kappara was saying differently. He says he wasn't coming to knock Rebbe at all. He was coming to say that Rebbe had a lot of money. As the Gemara says, the chasana cost 240,000 dinarim. And one may say, look, Rebbe is getting his Olam Haba, is getting reward in this world, and may be limited in the next world. So Bar Kappara says, no, we see even the Ivrei Ritzainai. We see Rishayim that have a lot of money in this world, as we know, because HaKadosh Baruch Hu gives them their reward in this world, so they will not get reward in the next world. So Bar Kappara is saying, if Rishayim, if Ivrei Ritzainai are Zaycha to all this wealth, then Kal V'chaymer, that those that keep Hashem's will, they can be Zaycha to not only wealth in this world, they also, they're not going to be like the Rishayim, they also are going to get much more. They are going to as well get tremendous reward in Olam Haba, in the next world. But they didn't understand what Bar Kappara was saying. They at first thought that Bar Kappara was saying, calling Rebbe an Ivrei Ritzainai. And therefore, Bar Kappara didn't change according to the Marsha. Rather, Bar Kappara explained that he meant to say that if this is how Hashem treats those that keep His will in this world, Kal V'chaymer, how much more so their reward is going to be in the next world. Rabbi Kiva Eger over here is mitzayin Adavar Nachmari says a beautiful pshat from the Shvus Yaakov in Chelek Aleph Simen Kuf Pei Beis, where the Shvus Yaakov offers a different pshat in what Bar Kapara was coming to say to Rebbe. And he brings that the Tur in Arachayim Tav Kuf Samach writes, based on the Gemara in Brachais, on Daf Lamed Aleph Amed Aleph, it's also for a person to have a full measure of laughter in this world. Shenemar oz, then, in the times of Geula, yimale schaik pin, only then we could have a full measure of laughter. And the Beis Yosef points out that the Torah understands that when the Gemara says in Brachos that it's also for a person to have a full measure of laughter ba'ilam hazeh, in this world, it means nowadays, after the time of the Churban. And that's why the Torah says, Bizman Hazeh. However, Rabbeinu Yaina says that it's talking about even in the time of the Beis HaMikdash, it's still aser to have a full measure of Simcha, because Simcha could bring a person to forget the mitzvahs, it could bring Kalos Reish. So as where the Torah learns that this is a din of not having Simcha in the time of the Churban, because we can't have Simcha when there's no Beis HaMikdash, when there's Tsar of the Shechina. However, Rabbeinu Yonah learns it's not connected to the Churban. This is Stam and Isser, even in times of the Beis HaMikdash, to have a full measure of Simcha, because it brings a person not to be as careful in keeping the mitzvahs. Comes the Taz over there in the end of Tav Kuf Samach and says that he wants to differentiate between the times of the Beis HaMikdash and where there's no Beis HaMikdash. He says that where there's a Beis HaMikdash, then it would be mutter to have a full measure of Simcha if it's a Simcha of Mitzvah. Because the whole reason, Lechora, that you're not supposed to have too much Simcha, according to Rabbeinu Yaina, even in the times of Beis HaMikdash, is because a person could be less careful with mitzvahs. However, if the Simcha surrounds mitzvah, so then there would be no issue of having a full measure of Simcha for the mitzvah. However, when there's no Beis HaMikdash, then it would be usher to have a full measure of Simcha, even for a Simcha Shel Mitzvah. Because when there's no Beis HaMikdash, we have the other problem of we having the Tsar of the Churban, that does not allow us to have a full measure of Simcha, even for a Simcha Shel Mitzvah. Comes the Shvus Yaakov and says that was the machlokes between Bar Kapara and Rebbe. Bar Kapara held that if it's for a mitzvah, there was a chasana. If for a mitzvah, a person is allowed to have Simcha, even nowadays when there's no Beis HaMikdash. However, Rebbe held that it's aser even for a Simcha Shel Mitzvah, like the Taz says. And Bar Kapara is coming to bring a raya to his opinion that it's mutar for a mitzvah, for a person to have schaik, from this Kal Vachomer. If a Kadosh Baruch Hu gives Ivrei Ritzonai, those that go against his will, such simcha, then Kal Vachomer, that for those that keep Hashem's will, that HaKadosh Baruch Hu wants those people to have a great simcha in a simcha of mitzvah. And he says that's the pshat based on the Gemara in Makkos on Chavdal and Manaf on the bottom, where the Gemara says, Rav Gamliel, Rav Elazar ben Azariah, Rav Yeshua, and Rav Akiva were walking, and they heard the great loud sounds of the Romans partying from a great distance of 120 mil. And they began to cry that these people destroyed the Beis HaMikdash, so they have such great simcha. So as they began to cry, Rabbi Akiva Mesachek, Rabbi Akiva was laughing. Amr lo, they said to him, why are you laughing? Amr lahem, he said, why are you crying? They said, these Kushim that bow down to Avodah Zarah, and they're sitting so securely and happily, while us, our Beis HaMikdash, the Adayim Ragli Elokeinu, is destroyed by fire, we shouldn't cry. Amar lahan, Rabbi Akiva said to them, Lekach ani mitzachek. That's why I'm laughing. Umar loivi ritzaynei kach, loisei ritzaynei lachas kama v'kama. If that's the way HaKadosh Baruch Hu allows, gives those that go against His will, Alachas kama v'kama, how much HaKadosh Baruch Hu rewards those that keep His will. And the simple pshat is, Rabbi Akiva is just saying, how much great reward will be for those that keep Hashem's will in the next world. But the Shvas Yaakov understands that Rabbi Akiva means as well, that if HaKadosh Baruch Hu gives this simcha, gives this happiness to these Rishonim in this world, certainly HaKadosh Baruch Hu wants us to have a simcha, wants us to have a happiness in this world. And that's why Rabbi Akiva is able to be misachik. Rabbi Akiva is able to laugh. There's no issue of asil adam shimale schaipib ba'ilam azah, because if it's a simcha shel mitzvah, a simcha of being close to HaKadosh Baruch Hu, that simcha is a simcha that we are supposed to have. And that is the same Kal Vachomer that Bar Kapara is saying over here, that if HaKadosh Baruch Hu gives a simcha schaik to those that go against His will, certainly it is meant for those that keep His will and have that simcha in the fulfillment of the will of HaKadosh Baruch Hu. That's the beautiful pshat of the Shvas Yaakov. And certainly, learning this sugya of Bar Kapara, we have to understand that Bar Kapara was an incredibly great person, a serious Talmud Chacham, and his kavana in giving Rabbi Simcha was completely l'shem Shemayim. The Maharsha explains that he wanted Rabbi to have Simcha based on the Gemara and Tainus on Chav Beis, that the Barchanim, people that make other people happy, Gemara says over there, are Zaycha, are Ta'ilam Haba. It's a great Tzuchus to make other people happy. And if I could quote my own Sefer, Olam HaMidos, in Perek Vav, Olam HaSimcha, in the very last piece, we have a nice Lishitasai in Bar Kapara. The Gemara in Brachos and Lamed Tes Amud Aleph, that brings a Maisa with Bar Kapara, that two Talmidim were in front of him, and one of the Talmidim made a Bracha on the wrong thing first, and the other Talmud laughed at him. And Bar Kapara got upset at him for laughing at him. And that's important message, important understanding, that when a person has a great simcha, a great sense of humor, like Bar Kapara, it's only to be used for a mitzvah, only to be used for the right reason. And Bar Kapara himself got very upset when someone used laughter at someone else's expense. Going further to Nun Aleph, Amud Aleph, the Gemara continues the Maisim with Bar Kapara, and the Gemara tells us how Bar Kapara said to the daughter of Rebbe that tomorrow, by the chasna, by that wedding, I'm going to drink wine with the dancing, birikuda davucha, with the dancing of your father, uver kirkani d'imech, and the kirkani of your mother, which the Ran explains, it means the singing of your mother, which is difficult to understand, have a problem of kol isha. The Mefarish learns, uvekirkani d'imech, means that your mother is going to pour me a cup of wine to drink, which has its own problem, as the Gemara tells us in Kiddushin on Pe'alaf HaMebeis on the bottom, ein mishtamshim b'isha, one is not allowed to use a lady to serve him. And this is brought in Halacha, in Evan Ezer, Simach Chaf Aleph, Se'if Hey. The Shamin Adarim over here raises these Ha'arais. L'chora, the question on the Mefarish's Pshat of how could Rebbe's wife pour him Bar Kapara wine, Ein Mishtamshim B'Isha, L'chora, we could answer based on the Aruch HaShulchan, in Evan Ezer over there, Simach Chaf Aleph, Ais Tes, where the Aruch HaShulchan writes, Ein Litzmaya, don't wonder on the minig that Nagu all over Klal Yisrael, that when guests come to someone's house and the wife serves them, gives them to drink, pours them cups, Ein Mishtamshim B'Isha, and the Aruch HaShulchan says, no, There's no Isser in such a situation, not only if the husband is there, but even if he's not there, since it's not being done a way of iskarvas, of closeness, it's done because of achnasas archim, and it's her job to take care of the guests. That's not considered begeder emishtamshin beisha. And Mimela, we wouldn't have a question over here from our Gemara. In terms of the Ran's pshat, which is more difficult, that he wanted her to sing for him, the Shamidarm explains, based on the Gemara and Kiddushin, on Pei Beis, the Gemara over there on the bottom of Pei Alf and Beis says how Rav Acha Bar Abba went to his son-in-law's house and he took his granddaughter and put her on his shoulders. And Rav Chista said to him, his son-in-law, Rav Chista said to him, she's married, how can you put her on your shoulders? And the Gemara ends up saying that I hold like the other member of Shmuel that says, Hakol l'shem shamayim. Everything depends on the person's intentions, l'shem shamayim. And the Ritva over there, in the last Ritva in Kiddushin, writes that a person who understands that he has no Yetzahara in this, and he's doing it l'shem shamayim, like over here, he's doing it to give nachas to the parents, to her mother. So in such a case, there's no issue, even though he put her on his shoulders, and he brings down the Gemara and Ksubis, on Daf Yitzayin Amar Aleph, there of Adar Ba'ava, he put a kala, a bride on his shoulders, and would dance with her, and because he was above her. L'maisa the Rava ends off, this is not for a regular person, this is only for a great chassid that recognizes his Yetzirah, and he says, not even every Talmid Chacham is on such a level. So, the Shalmei Nedarim suggests that Bar Kapara was on such a level that for him, Kol Isha was not a problem. And that's how he answers this Gemara. What was Bar Kapara's point in doing this whole thing to get Rebbe to dance for him, Rebbe's wife to sing, or pour wine for him? So Teferis Sion explains that Bar Kapara was trying to show Rebbe's daughter how there's nothing as important as Torah. With all the money and all the wealth of Rebbe, the only thing that's really important is Torah. And he showed that by asking Rebbe these questions of what it means Toeva, Tevel, Zima, and he said, I'll answer you if you dance for me. So he's showing how there's nothing, all honor, all wealth is subservient, doesn't come near the value and importance of Torah. Because Rebbe and his wife will lower themselves to have an answer, to have pshat in Torah. Why did Bar Kapara pick these specific examples, darshaning these psukim to Eva, Tevel, and Zima, which is connected to Arayas? So the Maral in Chiddush Agadah says a beautiful vart. He says that at time of a chasana, where there may be drinking, there's gashmias, so there is a time where Bar Kapara was stressing that a person has to be careful to stay away from Avera, to stay away from Arayas, and the Maral takes it further. That Bar Kapara, like we learn in our sugya, was a person that was a barcha, and he would make jokes, he would try to bring simcha. But Bar Kapara was showing that only a simcha shel mitzvah, for a chasan and kala, perhaps to make somebody happy, to cheer somebody up, l'tzarech a mitzvah, Bar Kapara held a person should use humor. However, for something that is of kalas reish, something not of a mitzvah, there, a person has to be careful, a person has to be somber, and that's what Bar Kapara's point was, to darshan these psukim and show that we have to be careful not to stay away from a simcha other than a simcha shel mitzvah. And the Maral as well writes over here that the three different parshias, three different groups of arayas that Bar Kapara is touching on. He says that Zima is written by the parsha of relatives, by a mother and daughter. It says, Ervas Isha Bita Lo Segale, a mother and a daughter, one is not allowed to marry. As Baspina, one is not allowed to marry his wife's granddaughter, whether it's Baspina or Baspita, her son's daughter or her daughter's daughter. Lo Sikach Legales Ervasa Sharahina Zimahi. So that's by the parsha of relatives. And on that, Bar Kapara Darshan Zumahi, what is this? What is this worth? Following one's desires. And the second level Maral learns is to pasuk of Ta'eva, a man with another man. Tayataba, you're straying after this. Taisvis says you're leaving your wives and going after men. And the most furthest from normal Taiva, Sakta Maral, is the last one, is Tevel, which the pasuk's talking about being mizana with a behema, with an animal. It's not even in the human species. And says Tavlin Yeshba, are there spices here? Which the Maral explains that it's like, so if you have something that's not really food, it's not really edible, but you put a lot of spices into it and try to make it edible. So basically saying that there's nothing here. There's nothing of substance here. One could ask on the Maral's Mahalech that the order of Bar Kapara's questions to Rebbe doesn't follow this way. The order of our Gemara is Toeva, Tevel, then Zima, rather than, according to the Maral, the order should be Zima, then Toeva, then Tevel. But nonetheless, beautiful Pshat, a beautiful Mahalech in our Gemara. The Gemara tells us that Ben Elasa, son-in-law of Rebbe, who himself was very wealthy, couldn't handle seeing what he felt was a bezayin to Rebbe, and he went out, him and his wife, they left. And the Gemara says, my Ben Elasa, who is this Ben Elasa? And what does the Gemara mean to ask, my Ben Elasa? So the Mefarish learns, minayin du asher. Minayin Dava Asher. How do we know that Ben Elasa was wealthy? That's what the Gemara means to say. And then the Gemara brings a brisa that tells us that Ben Elasa uses money to show the unique, special haircut of a Kohen Gadol, which was very, very expensive to do. The Marsha disagrees with the Mefarish's pshat. Why is it necessary to bring a brisa to show that he was wealthy? We said already in the Gemara that he was wealthy, and the Marshal learns that the Gemara means to say, why was he called Ben Elasa, a wealthy, distinguished person? We should call him by his own name. Why is he called by his father's name? And the Marshal says that the Gemara is answering that the reason why he was called by his father's name was to stress his greatness, that usually brings the Gemara, that usually wealthy people that got their money as an inheritance from their parents, they're not as careful with how they spend their money since they didn't work hard for their money. However, Ben Elasa, he's called by his father's name to tell us, to say that even though his wealth actually came from his father, nonetheless he was careful how he spent his money, and he spent his money only for good purposes, like we learned, that he spent his money to show off the beautiful haircut of the Kohen Gadol. It's interesting, as the Mefarshim discuss, that the pasi that we bring to teach us the special haircut of the Kohen Gadol is the pasi in Yecheskel and Perek Mem Dalet, pasi Chaf, which says, Kasayim Yichsamu Es Rasheim. And the problem is that the beginning of the pasuk would seem to be talking about regular Kohanim. It says in that pasuk, V'roisham le'igalechu, that they should not shave off their heads completely, the Kohanim, U'fara lo yishalechu, and they should not let their hair grow long either. And the Gemara in Sanhedrin Achaf Beis on the Beis says, that we learn out from here, that a kohen, regular kohen, should get a haircut once every 30 days, because it says over here a lashon of para, and it says by nazirais also a lashon of para, just like there nazirais is 30 days, so to here the pasuk's referring to letting their hair grow more than 30 days. So this pasuk clearly we see is talking about regular kohanim. Because a kohen gadol, on the other hand, gets a haircut once a week, every Erev Shabbos, like the Gemara says in Sanhedrin. So how is it that the beginning of the pasuk, ufera lo yishalechu, which is halacha of not letting the hair grow longer than 30 days, which is talking to a regular kohen, and then the end of the pasuk continues, kasay michsimus rasheyem, which we're saying over here applies specifically to a kohen gadol. The rush over here is mevur, that in a chinami, you have to say that the pasuk splits, and he says that the hechruch, we see this from the next pasuk. The next pasuk afterwards, in pasuk chaf aleph, it says, v'yayin lo yishtu kol kohen, that every kohen is not allowed to drink wine, b'vayam elachotar apnimis, when they come into the Beis HaMikdash. So, the pasuk says every kohen. Why does the pasuk say every kohen? We're already talking about the kohanim. So, Zok Rush, because the pasuk before, the end of the last pasuk, of Kasai Michsimu Esrei Sheyem, is talking about specifically the kohen gadol. So, it comes out according to the Rush, that there's almost a sandwich over here. Pasuk Chaf begins, V'raisham Le'igalechu, Ufera Le'ishalechu, which is talking about every kohen. Then, Kasai Michsimu Esrei Sheyem is talking about the kohen gadol. And then the next pasuk, V'yayin lo yishtu kol kohen, is talking once again to every kohen. Another mahalech is given by the Malbim over there. It's also pshat in the Yad Ramah, writes this in Sanhedrin, on Chav Beis Amid Beis, that ein achinami, the pasuk over here of Kasei Michsimu Esrei Sheyem, is talking to every kohen. However, this is talking in the Nevuah of Yecheskel, La'asid Lavai, that in the future, the kohanim are going to be raised to an elevated status, and even the regular kohen will be like a kohen gadol. And therefore, Kasei Michsimu Esrei Sheyem is talking about every kohen, but we're learning it out for nowadays, specifically to a kohen gadol. Another mahalech, a third mahalech, is a gorgeous pshat from the Mari Kurkus in Klei HaMikdash, Perek Hei, Halacha Vav, where he writes that really even the beginning of the pasuk, which says the halacha of not letting their hair grow more than 30 days, is talking about a kohen gadol, not a kohen hadid. Kohen hadid is also true, but the pasuk is referring to a kohen gadol. We asked that the Gemara in Sanhedrin tells us that a kohen gadol has to get a haircut once a week. So Zakta Mari Kirkus, a beautiful var, that there are two dinim in this halacha of the kohen gadol. There's one din that if a kohen goes more than 30 days without a haircut and goes into the Beis HaMikdash to do avayda, the halacha is yischayev misa. As the Rambam writes in Hilchos Bias Mikdash, Perek Aleph, Halacha Yud. However, Zakta Mari Kirkus, that din applies equally to a kohen gadol. The kohen gadol is only chayiv misa bidei shamayim if he lets his hair grow 30 days, because that's a din in Hilchos Avayda that applies to the kohen gadol the same as a kohen hadyet. The halacha that a kohen gadol has to get a haircut once a week is not a din zak demari kurkis in Hilchos Avayda. That's a din, a separate din, out the kavod, out the honor of the kohen gadol. As the Rambam is mevur over there in Klei HaMikdash, Perek Hei, Halacha Vav, that this halacha, the kohen gadol has to get a haircut once a week, applies even when he's not coming into the Beis HaMikdash. Memela Zokta Mari Kurkis, it's not a kasha in the pasuk. The halacha of Ufera La Yishalechu, that he can't go more than 30 days, the pasuk in Yecheskel is talking about in Hilchos Avayda, and that's talking about a kohen gadol, because in Hilchos Avayda there's no difference for a kohen gadol or a kohen hadyet. That's a din of 30 days. the halacha that a kohen gadol has to get a haircut once a week, that's not a din in hilchas avodah. That's not something he'd be chayiv misa for when going into the Beis HaMikdash. That is a separate halacha that a kohen gadol has to be mechubed, has to be honorable, and he has to look good, and he has to get a haircut once a week. Memela, there's no kasha in the flow of the psukim. Going further to Nun Aleph and Beis, the Mishnah on top. The Mishnah tells us that if someone makes a neder min ha-kavosh, ein asa min ha-kavosh ha-yarek. If someone makes a neder from ha-kavosh, he's only asa from vegetables that are pickled. However, if a person says kavosh shani tayim, he's asa b'chol ha-kvushim. He's asa in anything that is pickled. And the Ran over here gives two explanations for the Mishnah. One possibility is that the chiluk is whether the person said with a hey. Hey hayidia, ha-kavosh implies specific type, the regular things that are normally pickled, like vegetables. However, if a person just says kavosh, that includes anything pickled. The Ran offers another pshat, that the chiluk of the Mishnah is not whether he says the hey or not, but rather whether he adds in shani tayim. That since he said kava shani tayim, that's why he is usher in everything that is pickled. And along the lines of the Ran is in other mefarshim as well. The interesting, fascinating sheet over here is the sheet of the Rambam. If you look at the Rambam, in the beginning of Hilchos Nedarim Perek Tes, the Rambam writes an important yuklal, which we spoke about in the beginning of the Perek, that by Nedarim we go after Lashon Bnei Adam, we go after the Lashon of the people in that place, in that language, in that time. And the Rambam continues in Halacha Beis over there, that someone who makes a neder from Hamaliach, something that is salted, and he says, Hamaliach, the Rambam writes, if the derech is to call maliach anything salted, he's usher in everything that's salted. And if the derech is to refer specifically to a fish, so then he's only usher in salted fish. And the Rambam continues in Halacha Gimel, with our case, person makes a neder from hakavosh. If the derech is to call kavish anything pickled, he's usher in everything. And if the derech is only to refer to pickled vegetables, he's only usher in pickled vegetables. The Kesef Mishnah understands over there that the Rambam is learning this way into our Mishnah. Somehow, I'm not sure how, the Rambam learns that's what the Mishnah means. That it depends. Sometimes a person is only usher in pickled vegetables, if that was the derech of the way people spoke in that place. And sometimes a person will be usher in everything pickled, if that was the way people spoke, that people, when they said kavosh, they meant anything that is pickled. And the Kesef Mishnah says that even though the Rambam and Perush HaMishnayos over here explains like the Ran, that the Mishnah is differentiating whether the person says with a hey hayidia or without the hey. Nonetheless, the Kesef Mishnah says that the Rambam was chayzer, and the Rambam learned our Mishnah is coming to say that it depends on the place where the person makes the neder. However, in the Shal Suchuvas Maral Bach in Simon Tess, which Akiva Eger is mitzayin over there on the Rambam, the Maral Bach explains that the Rambam is not a stira to the Rambam in Perush HaMishnayos. He says that the Rambam understands our Mishnah along the lines of the Ran. However, the Rambam is saying that lahalacha, that we go by Lashon Bnei Adam, our Mishnah is not relevant, so to say, to the halacha lamaisa of today. Because nowadays, we would go by the derech of people. And what the Rambam means to say is that even if the person said ha kavosh or ha maliach with the hay, nonetheless, if the derech of people is to refer to anything kavosh or anything maliach, he is going to be usher in everything, because we go basa lashem bnei adam. Our Mishnah is going in the time where that was the Derech. However, that could change, and that's why the Rambam does not bring the Mishnah exactly the way we have it. And if you look at the Parash of Mishnayos over there on our Mishnah, the Rambam writes at the end, V'lay sifsha be'ikra ha'yadua b'nadarim ha'alach ha'alash me'adam. Don't make a mistake and forget the ikr klal that by nadarim go after lashem ne'adam. And even though the Mishnah differentiates whether the person says a hey or not, that would still depend on what is going on at the time in the place that the person made the nether. With this Yusayi, the Marabach explains that this is why the Rambam leaves out a number of the cases that we find in our Mishnayos and our Gemara, because only in places where the Rambam felt it necessary to point it out that a person shouldn't make a mistake, like this case where the person make a mistake, and based on our Mishnah say that if a person says Hamaliach, then no matter what, he's only going to be usher in the fish, or Hakava shall only be usher in the vegetables, despite the fact that Lashem Adam is not the way. So the Rambam wanted to point out that no, shouldn't make a mistake, that if people refer to Hamaliach as anything salted, or HaKavosh, anything pickled, he's going to be usher in everything. Going further to the next Mishnah, the Mishnah says that if somebody says Dagim Shani Tayim, which the Ran, other Rishonim have two different explanations for the Mishnah, whether he said both Dag and Dagim, and it's one case, or perhaps it's two different cases, the person said Dag, or he said Dagim Shani Tayim. The Mishnah says he's Aser, whether it's big fish or small fish, salted, unsalted, raw, or cooked. And the Shamin Adarim has a very interesting Ha'ara over here. The Shamin Adarim says that Tfelim and Chayim are essentially the same thing. It's fish that's uncooked and unsalted. Both Tfelim and Chayim refer to unprepared fish. And the Gemara tells us in Shabbos on Kuf Chav Ches Amud Aleph that a dug tafel, an unsalted, uncooked fish, is muksa on Shabbos because it's not fit for a person to eat. And Tysus says over there it's not even fit for a dog to eat. And the Shamin Adarim is ma'ayrer that it's a big chiddush then that the Mishnah says that the person's going to be asur to eat it because since it's not the derech for a person to eat such a fish, so therefore we could say that it's not included in his kavana when he made the nether. Moreover, the Tiferes Yaakov on the Mishnah points out, he asks that this goes against the Magen Avraham and Aruch Chaim Shin Pei Vav Ais Yud, where the Magen Avraham assumes that a person who makes a nether that he will not get hanah from something, he does not mean only the normal Derech Hanasai, the normal way to get hana from something. Unusual, abnormal hana was not included, was not in his intention when he made the nether. So, affected the Tiferes Yaakov from our Mishnah, that the Mishnah asers the person in a dug tafel, which seems to contradict the psak of the Magen Avraham. Rabbi Kiva Eger, in Yoradeya Reish Chaf Aleph, asks another kasha, a different question. He asks on the Magen Avraham that the Shulchan Aruch paskins over there, which is really a gemara earlier on Daf Lamed Gimel Amud Aleph, that someone who says Hanas Machelcha Alai, the Hana of your food is Aser Ami, it's Aser to eat from him, and it's Aser to chew wheat, his wheat, and put it on his wound, since he's getting Hana from the maichel, from the food. So Zachary Kiveger, this is not derech hanasai, this is not typical way of ana one gets from food. And nonetheless, the halacha is that it's aser. So Kiveger leaves off tzarech ian on the Magen Avraham. One final ha'ara for today's shiur. The Gemara further discusses the price of Reb Shimon ben Elazar that if a person says dog shani tayim, he refers to big fish, which the Ran says more than a litra. And if a person says daga, he's referring to kitanim, the smaller fish. If he says both daga shani tayim, then he's going to be usher in both big and small fish. And Rav Papa says to Abaye that where do we see a dog is a big fish? As the Pasuk says in the beginning of Perek Beis of Yonah, Vayiman Hashem dog gadol livloya es Yonah, that Hashem prepared a big fish to swallow Yonah. So you see the word dog is used in connection with a big fish. But Frekt Rav Papa, the Pasuk says later over there, the very next Pasuk, Vayispalo Yonah Lashem Elokav Yimea Daga, that Yonah davened to Hashem, his God, from the stomach of the Daga. So it then calls this fish a Daga. See, you see that Daga as well refers to a big fish. And Abaye answers that it's not a question, because maybe the big fish swallowed Yonah and spit him out, and subsequently a small fish swallowed him up. And the Ran points out that even though the second fish wasn't that small, if it was able to hold Yonah, it must have been bigger than a litra. But nonetheless, compared to the first fish, it was small. And that's why the Torah uses a lashon of daga on the second fish. This suggestion of Abaye is the Marsha brings from a Medrash, as well as Rashi over there brings in Yonah, that this is precisely what happened. Yonah was in the big fish for 3 days and three nights, as the Pasuk says, and he wasn't davening to Hashem. He was comfortable. There was space in the fish. And HaKadosh Baruch Hu saw he wasn't davening, so Hashem had this bigger fish spit him out, and he was swallowed. Rashi brings he was swallowed by a nekeva, by a female fish that was full of ubrim, that had full of babies inside of it, and there was no room for him. He was uncomfortable, and that forced him, that caused Yonah to daven mimei hadaga. He davened from the smaller fish, means that he didn't have room in the second fish, and that's what motivated him to daven. The Marsha asks that in the end of this parak, where Yonah davens to Hashem, the Pasuk says, Vayomer Hashem ladog, Hashem said to the dog, Vayake es Yonah el yabasha, and the fish spit Yonah up to the dry land. And the question is, why does the Pasuk say Hashem said to the dog? We've been talking now about the second fish. That's where Yonah ended up afterwards. So the Pasuk should have said, Vayomer Hashem la daga, Hashem said to the smaller fish. The Metzudas David over there in Perek Beis Pasuk Yud Aleph suggests, he answers, that maybe after Yonah davened, Hashem had the smaller fish, the Nekeva, spit Yonah back up and was swallowed again by the dog, by the first fish, by the bigger fish, in order that he should have more room. The Marsha suggests this as well, but he says he doesn't know why this happened. Why didn't the smaller fish himself or herself spit Yonah back onto the dry land? Why first have Yonah be spit out and then swallowed by the first fish? Perhaps we could suggest that maybe there was some time in between, and Hashem immediately answered Yonah's pain, Yonah's tefillah, that he was switched into the bigger fish, and then it took time before Yonah eventually was brought to dry land and was spit out onto the dry land by the bigger fish. The Chassam Sefer over here gives another teretz. He says that we never find HaKadosh Baruch Hu speaking with an akeva, with a female. It's not kavai klape maila to write that way. And therefore the Pasuk doesn't say Vayomer Hashem Ladaga. The pasuk says Vayomer Hashem Ladag. Nachsam Sefer says Ladag refers to the Malach, the Sar Elyon, that's in charge of the fish. So the pasuk saying Vayomer Hashem Ladag, Hashem spoke to the Malach that was in charge of the fish, in charge of this Daga and this female fish. And Hashem commanded the Malach to have Yonah be spit out onto the dry land.
You have been listening to the Shiurim of Shas Illuminated. Shas Illuminated is a non-profit organization dedicated to broadening the learning of those studying the Daf worldwide. If you would like to make a donation or to dedicate a Daf or Masechta, please visit our website at shasilluminated.org or call 203-312-SHAS. You can also email us at shasilluminated@gmail.com.